Bible reading today is from Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19 to 22. Isaiah chapter 8, beginning at verse 19. Someone may say to you, let's ask the mediums and those who consult the spirits of the dead. With their whisperings and mutterings, they will tell us what to do. But shouldn't people ask God for guidance? Should the living seek guidance from the dead? Look to God's instructions and teachings. People who contradict his word are completely in the dark. They will go from one place to another, weary and hungry. And because they are hungry, they will rage and curse their king and their God. They will look up to heaven and down at the earth, but wherever they look, there will be trouble and anguish and dark despair. They will be thrown out into the darkness. May God add his blessing to those words today. You probably know that passage very well, as it's shared most Christmas times. Or maybe not. The book of Isaiah was a prophet in the, going back a long time ago, many, many hundreds of years before Jesus was born. And he was talking to the Israelites at a time when their nation was beginning to fall apart and they were getting taken into exile. So effectively, the people of Israel were looking around at their nation, at their land, the land that God had promised them, the land that Moses had led them to out of Egypt, the land that Joshua had helped lead them into, the land flowing with milk and honey. And now the land that they thought would never be lost was suddenly falling apart. And of course, despair and sorrow was going throughout all the land. They were probably, when they were having cups of tea and coffee together around the table, they were probably talking about, oh, the world's pretty bad at the moment, isn't it? Everywhere you look, there's just things going wrong. Not too dissimilar to how we talk today, is it? And it's probably not too dissimilar to how people talk in every age, every generation. But for them, it was almost as though for them God had abandoned them. How could this happen unless God had abandoned them? And so, of course, it's interesting that people turn their back on God, and then when stuff goes wrong, they blame God. We see that today as well, don't we? It's easy to do that. Who can we blame? Well, we'll blame God. I'll make a stupid choice, I'll get a stupid result, and I'll blame God for the outcome. It's a good way to go, isn't it? Not really. And so Isaiah talks about how when we start to live that way, we're living in darkness. Instead of seeking God for guidance, we go to other people. We look for, well, some people go to mediums and spiritists. We might go to talk shows or Oprah Winfrey or the internet or whatever we go to. We go to human-made things trying to find answers to God. And so the Israelites were in despair and they're going, what hope is there? So that, where I finished, they will be thrown out into the darkness, ends chapter 8. And then chapter 9 of Isaiah, the message continues. Nevertheless, well, that's always a good word, isn't it? Nevertheless, there's a change here. That means there's a change. That time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled, but there will be a time in the future when Galilee of the Gentiles, which lies along the road that it runs between the Jordan and the sea, will be filled with glory. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. You will enlarge the nation of Israel, and its people will rejoice. They will rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest and like warriors dividing the plunder. For you will break the yoke of their slavery and lift the heavy burden from their shoulders. You will break the oppressor's rod, just as you did when you destroyed the army of Midian. The boots of the warrior and the uniforms bloodstained by war will all be burned. They will be fuel for the fire. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. That's a bit more uplifting, isn't it? You might be thinking of the Hallelujah song, the Messiah song. For unto us a child is born. This hope, the hope of the Messiah. And if right throughout the history of the Israelite people, they knew that God would one day send them this Messiah, this Saviour, this person that would deliver them and reign and bring peace and be their king forever and ever. And there's many Jewish people still in the world today that are still looking forward to that time when the Messiah will come. And so as you read through the Old Testament of the Bible, there's this constant looking forward to the Messiah, the hope that is coming. Today's December the 1st, if you hadn't already guessed that. And what's really good about December the 1st is it's Advent calendar starting time. You can start your Advent calendars. And there's so many Advent calendars now, isn't there? Many, many different ways to count down. And what are we counting down to? Christmas Day. And so as the numbers get whittled down, it gets exciting, doesn't it? You know, we've got this one here that says, how many days to Christmas? 25. 25 days to Christmas. Isn't that exciting? 25 more sleeps and then you get presents. No, we've got to allow for at least one afternoon nap. So we can put this here on number one and we've got to get down to number 25. But it is exciting, isn't it? Because you get to get your favourite Advent calendar and you got to find number one. Oh dear. You got to find it. There it is. And then I can open it. Oh, look at that. It's even got a pretty picture inside. Foil for freshness. Oh, look at that. Oh, it's a little. Nutcracker type thing, little soldiery thing. Well, it was. That's number one. I've got this Advent calendar here. This is one to make you healthy because it's no food in it. But there's a candle in this one. This is a candle one. I'm getting so excited I can't even open it. But today's number one. And all I've got is the holder for the candles for the rest of the countdown now. So tomorrow I can have a candle. That'll be exciting. When in some, especially in Europe, they have this sort of tradition of an Advent candle. And you can see down here there's numbers 1 down to 24. So you light it each day and you burn it down to number 1 and then you stop and then tomorrow you burn it down to number 2. Isn't that exciting? I've got to start that one. This year I bought a book called The Advent Calendar Recipe Book. Got a recipe for every day between now and Christmas. That's exciting. Today's recipe on 1st of December is butternut squash and pear soup. And Kelly said, why would it be soup? But of course it's winter pretty much everywhere else. And the 1st of December, it's got, look at that, it's even got Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 and 6 and 7 as the verses today. And then it's got a little fact. Listen to this. Advent calendars probably date back to the 1800s when families chalked lines on their door for every day in December up to Christmas Eve. There are also Advent clocks and a candle lit each day known as Advent candles. The tradition of printed Advent calendars appears to have begun in Germany when in 1902 a Christian bookshop in Hamburg published an Advent clock and in 1904 one was given away free in a newspaper called Neues Tagblatt Stuttgart. That's the Stuttgart Daily News. The first paper advent calendars with windows were the brainchild of Gerhard Lang from Swabia in southwest Germany, and their popularity spread until cardboard was rationed during World War II and calendars with pictures were not allowed. In 1946, the first advent calendar to be printed was by Richard Selmer, and advent calendars containing chocolate treats have been available since 1958. For those that were born before 1958, my commiserations. But isn't that exciting? And especially if you go around places in Europe, you'll see all these countdowns towards Christmas Day. And what we often don't realise in Australia is that December for most of the world is cold and dark. Well, it's cold here today, isn't it? Although today, by the most of... But if we were in Europe or North America at the moment, this would be a very, very balmy day. Many parts of Europe would be starting to see their first snowfalls now, 0 degrees. It's probably sunrise, maybe 8:30, 9 a.m. Sunset around 4 p.m. And it's not that bright in between times either. This is about as sunny as it gets in England, I believe. Isn't that right, Jerry? It doesn't get much sunnier than this. It's pretty bleak. And so this idea of light and, you know, Christmas lights. Who loves Christmas lights on their house? There's a few advent decorators here. Of course, they need to light up everything in places like Europe so you can see where you're going. So when you're going out to the Christmas markets and doing your shopping, it's not dark. And so their streets are all lit up. We have tinsel and stuff in our streets. Well, they have all these beautiful lights through all the streets of Europe. It's amazing. It looks beautiful. Just to bring light to this darkness, this dullness, as they approach midwinter. The light brings a sense of joy, a sense of hope. And the same's so true, isn't it? We have a phrase called the light at the end of the tunnel. Now, generally, if you're in a tunnel, the idea is you go towards the light. Unless you're having a near-death experience, and then if you don't want to go to heaven yet, don't go to the light maybe. Come back from the light, I don't know. But if you were sort of lost in a cave or something, it would be quite scary, I would imagine. But that first glimpse of light would be just a real sense of hope, is I now know the way out. I know there is a way out of this. And so for the Israelite people, the Messiah was like that, was this light in the future, this light of hope, that no matter what was happening to them now, there was something to look forward to. A better day, a better future was coming. And what does it say about this Messiah? For those who live in a land of deep darkness, this light will shine. It's interesting that this light will be in Galilee, where Jesus did all his ministry. He will enlarge the nation of Israel. What does that mean? Israel now isn't just a little nation. It's all the people of God are around the world. Billions of people now are children of God. Each one of us is part of that enlarged nation of Israel. And they will rejoice. That's why we're here today, to rejoice in what God has done for us. He will break the yoke of slavery. He will free us from our sins. He will give us new life. He gives us a fresh start. We can begin again with God through Jesus. He'll break the oppressor's rod. The boots of the warrior will be burned up because war is no longer needed. He will be a person of peace. He'll be called Wonderful Counselor. No matter how hard things are going in your life, there is a God who loves you and who wants to help you through that. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, no matter how dire the situation is, God is all-powerful. He can help you through it. The Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, his government and peace will never end. The rule of Jesus will never end. We have the gift, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. We have that eternal life waiting for us. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. The passionate commitment of the Lord, the love of God, is why Jesus came to the earth. is that baby. For unto us a child is born. Jesus is the light that the Israelites back all these 700-800 years before were looking forward to. Looking forward to seeing the coming of the Messiah, the coming of their Saviour, the coming of Jesus. Effectively, Isaiah here in these words is grabbing a big spotlight and he's shining into the future saying, a better day is coming. What's exciting is we are actually living in that better day. We are living in that better day. And the challenge for us is to remember that, to remember that we are living in that better day. You see, I believe one of the things Satan wants us to do is to focus on all the bad things in this world. He wants us to be Isaiah chapter 8 people. He wants us to do these sort of things. You know, he wants us to be weary and hungry. He wants us to look up to heaven and down to earth, and wherever we look, there'll be trouble and anguish and despair. He wants us to do that and see that so that we'll start to rage against God and go, what's the point? God, how can there be a God? It's stupid. Look at all the things that are going wrong in the world. But look at all the things that are going right. It's quite scary to think that if we were born 150 years earlier, we would have been lucky to make it to the age of 50. Probably 3/4 of us wouldn't have made it to the age of 50. Or some of us are still trying to get there, but we're not far off. 100 years ago, that'd be, I've lost my maths now, the end of World War One. And when you look at the numbers of how many people died in World War One, and you just have to look at, you know, go to these little towns around here and you look at their cenotaphs and just this long list of names, and you think these communities were decimated. Millions of people, millions of young people just wiped off the earth. And if you look at the world's population, you can see these huge drop-offs where these things happen, where World War One happened, World War Two happened. The population of the world dropped quite significantly. If you go back a few hundred years earlier, things like the Black Plague wiped out a third of the world. It's hard to imagine. But the Messiah is not just about what's happening in this earth, but it's about what happens in each one of our hearts. It's that we as people don't have to be bound any longer by the things that drag us down. We don't have to allow things to drag us down. We don't have to let our past define our future. Because Jesus, by coming to this earth, came so that we could each experience freedom through him. And no matter what we've done in our life, we can draw a line in the sand and say, God, I'm sorry for what I've done. But instead of following my own path, which led to darkness and destruction, I'm now going to follow your path, which will lead to light and hope and a better future. And we each have that choice every day. Will we live in the darkness or will we live in the light? You see, we don't have to look ahead now. We don't have to start counting down 24 days or 24 years or whatever for the better future to come. The better future is here. That's why churches have a cross, to remind us that the better future is here. And each one of us has a choice today. Is we can keep counting down, but we don't need to. Christmas Day is here. The gift has been given. Jesus is that gift of salvation, of forgiveness, of eternal life. The gift is given. It's sitting under the tree. You could say it's sitting in our laps, ready to be unwrapped, ready to be received. The question is, will you open it and receive that gift of eternal life? We don't have to be good enough to open this gift. We don't have to earn this gift. We simply have to receive it and believe it is enough. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank you so much that you are the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We thank you that you were born, that you came to this earth, that you were given so that we each can experience forgiveness of our sins and eternal life through you. And we don't have to look any longer to the future for a better day. Lord, you offer us that better day right here and now. So, Lord, I just pray that you will help us each receive afresh today that gift. And, Lord, if there's anyone that hasn't received that gift before, I just pray that you will just help them to receive today, to simply realize they need you in their life, to believe that what you've done for them is enough, and to then hand over their life to you so you can forgive them and show them the way to live into the future. Help us, Lord, to follow you, to love you, and to be your child. We pray in Jesus' name. We're going to sing together, and the band will help us. And if you want to pray, maybe you want to come and just stand or kneel at the front here and receive that gift today. Maybe you want to come and pray for someone that, whether it's a family member or a friend, that you want them to receive the gift. That way of prayer is open as we sing, Light of the World. You step down into darkness, into our darkness. Open my eyes. Let me see the beauty that you've created in us, God. Here I am to worship. Here I am to give my life to you. As we sing, as I said, if you want to come and receive, that opportunity is there.